Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
And on left wing, we have the superstar himself. The reason why we're here, future of German hockey, JJ!
Yeah! He's got a man wide open to the far circle. Shot scores, JJ Paterka.
That is.
Paterka and Jokke Haru just happen to be the top point producers from Buffalo's preseason. The preseason that is now all said and done. The Sabres go 6-1, including all games played in North America and Germany. Paterka with 4 goals, 6 points in his 3 games played. Henry Jokke Haru, 5 points in 3 games in his preseason run. Marty, welcome to the keys, wallet, phone, luggage edition of Sabres Live.
Did you lose any of that stuff?
Okay, so let me tell you where I've been. And do you know what these are?
They're like luggage tags.
No, like they're wristbands.
Oh, so they're wristbands for concerts.
When you go to a concert nowadays. A festival, you have them on the whole weekend.
They were luggage tags because to recognize your luggage when they look all the same. So that could be used for that.
So these, for the Pilgrimage Festival in Franklin, Tennessee, have been sitting on my counter for months, like right on the edge, so I don't forget them when I go to Pilgrimage. Well, last week was a little bit of a busy week. And in my haste in scheduling change because of Hurricane Helene, I moved my flight up a day early so I could make sure I could actually get to Franklin. I was coming home from Pittsburgh and literally going out the door to do last week's show on Thursday from the airport. I got on the plane and realized, don't have these with me. No big deal, right? There's always a way. Although they did suggest there would be a fee for replacement.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pilgrimage. They did not charge me a fee.
All right.
Anyway.
You fought the elements and you're going to be there in a poncho all weekend. So
exactly.
They were kind. Like, we can make it for you.
This is the least of the forgetful moments. So we're in Franklin, not in Nashville, where our friend Kevin Kennedy lives. I'm like, Kev, come down for the weekend. Stay with me. So Friday night rolls around. Festival is Saturday, Sunday. Kevin rolls in. Big hug. Settle in. Half an hour later, he'd left his luggage in the Uber.
Oh, no. That is a bad one right there.
No.
How do you do that?
It was in the trunk. And as Kevin said, normally when I'm in an Uber in Nashville, I'm not going to stay at somebody's place. I'm not carrying luggage.
You get out and you're like, smell you later, right? Like, that's like another Prince of Bel-Air.
Anyway, long journey later in the evening, Uber driver circles back. Big tip bestowed upon him. We get the bag back.
Nice.
Next day is chaotic with the weather, right? It's lousy. We take an Uber over. We get out of the Uber. And within 30 seconds, I have lost my phone. Ugh. We are not even at the festival yet. I need the phone to get into the festival because I didn't bring these. I needed to have digital receipt.
Oh, no.
Oh, my
God. So did you repeat to yourself that Adam Sandler song all the time?
This is why I led the show with, this is why we've rearranged.
Yeah. I know. So you're like, you're walking around, I'm going to a music festival, phone, wallet, keys, bracelet, phone, wallet, keys. I don't have luggage. What the heck? Like, it's just like, I know. Seriously.
So anyway, long story long, it took an hour or so. Thankfully, the driver didn't get too far away. The hard process was communication with the driver, meaning like, you know, text through the app and whatever, and actually having the company send him a message like, hey, by the way. Anyway, he was super. He was well compensated. And now we were down a lot of money before we ever got to Pilgrimage.
For mistakes. It's like a hockey game. We cost ourselves a lot of mistakes today. Oh, like self-imposed mistakes are happening.
All right. So there's my story.
Let me tell you this.
Dude, it's been forever. That's kind of why
it has been forever.
I left you on Thursday. There have been 4 Sabres games played since then. The preseason is done.
Yes.
And we have endless stories to reflect upon over the 6-1 preseason and project to, which is the regular season beginning on Friday and Saturday in Czechia.
Well, before we get started on that, yes, there was a Thursday night game because you left me after the show Thursday. So Thursday night game, Friday afternoon, Germany-Munich game, Saturday night game, and Monday game. So those are the four preseason games. One played by the big club, obviously, in Europe. Yep. The other three played by the players that stayed back, but they performed at such a high level that I know, and I'm not pointing the finger at anybody in the media or fans that are saying, oh, the Rochester Americans are left back in Buffalo. But I hated when people said that because I'm like, they're not Rochester Americans. They're Buffalo Sabres. They wear the uniform. They wear the gear. They're playing NHL preseason games. And they perform like Buffalo Sabres would expect them to perform. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, okay, you know, whatever happens, happens. Whoever gets sent down to Rochester, gets sent down to juniors, whatever, right? It's going to happen. And at that point, they're at the Rochester Americans training camp. But yep. They were Buffalo Sabres, and they performed at the level that Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff and Michael Leone now have set for them to perform. It was awesome. But before we dive into the hockey, just quickly, I want to give a big shout out to the AP Psych student at Lancaster High School. I go every year to talk to the class about a bunch of different things, and I went yesterday. And it was great because it's the first time I've done it early in the year. Mr. Rossi's class, awesome job again. But he always gives me a few little, you know, treasures that he finds over the summertime in garage sales or whatnot.
Like this?
So I kind of like, if you want to sell him your passes? Bracelet, he'll find a use for it. But anyway, he got me a nice Blue Jays hat that I'm spotting on MSG right now. If you want to, you know, turn on the TV, if you're listening on WGR 550, and it's because baseball playoffs are going to start, so I put my baseball hat on. The Blue Jays are not in, but whatever. He got me this 1967-68 Rochester Americans official program from a game. It's amazing, like the things in there, the roster. I was looking
through
it. What
advertising jumps out to you? There's always great little local businesses and things like that. Give me one that pops off.
Or advertise. Well, there's a Les Duff on the team forward.
Yeah.
He had 5 goals, 8 assists, 13 points in 64 games the year before. Yeah. So Les Duff, Dick Gamble, you know, those are all guys that were on the team. So anyway, so it's interesting to read through this advertising.
Les is from the same hometown as Darren Pupa, and he never made it into the NHL, but he had a long and productive American Hockey League career.
Yeah, he was really good. But anyway, there's a Ralph Chief Pontiac ad in the book. We all know Pontiac don't exist anymore, so that was awesome. But then this is the pièce de résistance, the big thing, the big kahuna. This is the original screenplay printed every single page from the movie Slapshot. And like you start like the
talk
first
about
line,
something you don't need.
I know I'm going to be reading this. I'm going to be quoting it, right?
It's like all up here.
This is how it starts. Slapshot, fade in. Denis Lemieux, 20, a short, squat French Canadian, is staring rigidly before a single television camera. Boy. He's wearing his street shoes and a Charleston Chief jersey over a polyester suit. Figure it out. It had to be mentioned. He looks ridiculous. That's how the first few lines of the screenplay start. I think it's amazing. So this is going to go on my bookshelf of all my prized possession behind me as one of the things that I'll pick up sometimes and read the lines, right? And
just they are not selling the screenplay to Sabres Live, I can assure you, and it will not generate enough fundraising dollars to proceed with that.
I don't think we could say it because I'm reading it and they're the moments of strong language are moments of strong language in the screenplay, so we couldn't be using it anymore.
Well, if we're able to transcribe our hot take commercial breaks with Shayna Goldman.
Yeah, she would love that.
You know, like Sabres Live outtakes, I see potential there. Now, yeah, Jeff raised the question, Pontiac. Pontiac's still a thing.
No, Pontiac doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, Oldsmobile doesn't exist, right?
Pontiac is no longer. My parents have a Pontiac convertible car and they can't find parts. They can't find it.
Really?
Pontiac is done. Mm. So Oldsmobile is done. Pontiac is done.
Is that why you're questioning Jeff?
Yeah. Pontiac question mark. I think that's why he was like, maybe he doesn't even know.
Sometimes, you know
is.
How me, you know, I like economy of words, but sometimes I need more.
Duffer. My very first car was my parents' Pontiac 6000 LE in 1989 that they had. So when I turned 16 and was playing junior hockey, I did have that. And then my parents got a when I got drafted in the NHL in 95, that summer, they got a brand new Pontiac Grand Am. It was a black car. It was so, so sweet. I mean, you talk about what I thought was luxury, like the Pontiac Grand Am was
Pontiac
good.
Is making a comeback in 2025. That's the first thing that I saw when I Googled it. So maybe that's why it was top of mind.
Good on anyway, Pontiac to make a comeback. But anyway, who
Pontiac's not on the
40-man
roster and is unlikely to be on the 23-man roster when the Sabres get back to North America.
Yes.
Who has done what in the preseason right now? Who has, like, this is the time, Marty. Like, we've got seven in the books. We got 82 coming up.
Yeah. Is it easy to say that J.J. Paterka has done something? And that maybe was the big question mark for me going into the season, saying when Tage Thompson, you know, and Alex Tuch were looking for a line mate, and whoa, it's J.J. Paterka on that line. Not a line that I thought was going to be together, but they finished the year together. And J.J., yeah, he scored 3 goals in the first preseason games and added another one in Germany, but I felt like J.J. looked really good. I felt like Tage looked really good. Owen Power has looked fantastic, to my opinion. Faster, more fluid in his skating, more confident in his decision-making. So, I mean, these are the easy ones, right, to kind of pick out of the box. Zach Benson has looked really good. And, you know, for a 19-year-old to come into this second training camp after really wowing everybody last year and playing a full season in the NHL, you're starting to think, hey, is Zach Benson going to be a point producer this year, or is he going to be just a hardworking guy again like last year? But at 18, you take it. At 19, you may take it again. But as he gets older, you're going to have to produce. You're going to have to perform. That pass to Cousins on the power play goal, that was a play by Power to Benson to Cousins on the back door. Like, that's a confident play by Zach Benson. So if you just look at the NHL roster that was sent over to Europe, those are the guys, the Paterka, Power, Benson, Levi. Levi looks really confident and good in that. So those are the guys that really stood out to me in the 3 games that the main group played in the preseason.
Yeah, and if you're keeping score on the low minutes played totals for Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Devon Levi, 92 minutes in the cage for Luukkonen. He ends up with a record of 2-0, a 196 goals against, and an 884 save percentage. Obviously, incredibly small sample size.
Yeah.
Levi with a tiny 0.68 goals against average, a 971 save percentage in his 88 minutes of work, in which he was able to garner one victory as well.
He gave up a goal that was a hot potato he couldn't gather with his right hand, right? And then it ended up going to Olivier in front of him against Columbus. He tapped it in, and that was it.
You're not wrong. I tend to fixate more on the lack of response leading up to that play, and the standstill nature of the 3 or 4 closest guys in Sabres color in that moment to Levi. But yes,
that was a slow start for the Sabres that game. They woke up in the second period against Columbus in the second preseason game. It was a slow start in the first.
And Marty, we can only talk about what we actually saw. We spend the summer months projecting about nothing and dreaming and fantasy, but we actually have, you know, physical evidence here of what we witnessed over 7 games. And what we witnessed was a 6-1 record. No team in the NHL has posted 12 points yet in the preseason. There are still many games to go. Buffalo, on average, outshot their opponents 36-24. Their power play was 22%. Their penalty kill was 77%. And those are your statistical takeaways. But you also mentioned Zach Benson.
Yes.
Like, Zach was the story last September. So then this year, everybody's wondering, okay, well, it's going to be a bigger roster going over to Europe. You brought in a whole new bottom six. What's his role going to be? Well, at the moment, he's been elevated into the top six.
Yes.
And he ended up with 4 points in 3 games. And all of these players had 4 points or more over the course of their preseason. Thompson, Quinn, Benson, Power, Cousins, Zach Metsä, Noah Ostlund, and the two off the top, Joki Haru and Paterka. So when I say it like that, are there other names that we need to get into here?
There's a lot of names, obviously, because of the well, availability or opportunities that was presented to a lot of players to play multiple, like, NHL preseason games. Mm-hmm. And I look at Scott Ratzlaff. Like, that was a great opportunity for him this year to play a lot. He didn't give up a single goal.
50 minutes, and he's an ESPN 30 for 30 waiting to happen. 30 shots, 30 saves. So there you go.
No, it was kind of funny because before the group left for Europe, there was a scrimmage on, Monday morning last week, because the Sabres were playing a preseason game that night. There was a scrimmage. There was only two participants in the whole camp that were not part of the scrimmage. It was Michael Hauser and Scott Ratzlaff, because the group that was playing that night had already skated, and the group that was practicing was all on the ice. They didn't need four goalies for a scrimmage. So there's Hauser and Ratzlaff sitting there. And I remember talking to Scott, and just, he was excited about the opportunity. I'm like, are you going to get to play some games? He goes, I will see. I hope so. And you know, this is big. Last year, he didn't play any preseason. I remember my first 30 minutes of action in preseason at the odd against St. Louis, coming in after Dominik Hasek. Like, these are memories that you'll remember for a long time. And this kid, just a nice kid. Yes. A really good goaltender. You saw the quality of play that he's put together. Now he's going to go, you know, most likely back to juniors and, like, have that in his experience and perform. I thought he was fantastic. So I know I'm going to start with the goalie because he stood out. He stood out. Like, it was him and Hauser and Sandstrom that were back. But Ratzlaff was the one that really stood out out of the three.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, Hauser's situation is one that's very familiar in that he's usually around at this time of year, and the Amerks camp is going to open tomorrow. And the way the journey has often gone for Michael is he'll be in Rochester for a while. He could end up being in Jacksonville for a while. Yeah. And you know what? Before the year ends, he may get himself another prorated NHL contract, because that's what happens. And he's such a good person. So
what's
glad.
What's the over-under on Michael Hauser forgetting his passport, not his passport, his phone or his luggages in an Uber as he goes from Jacksonville to Rochester to Buffalo to Rochester? Like, I'm sure that's happened to him before, Duffer. So you gotta ask him when you next see him.
Well, and I mentioned those four pointers, the players that have 4 points or more. Were you not intrigued and maybe have a quick word on Cousins and Quinn?
Yes, Jack Quinn looked quick, shooting the puck well. Cousins, you know what's funny is the first preseason game, he was on the ice for the first power play goal that Pittsburgh scored, and Dylan Cousins was running all over the place. He tried to hit a guy on the wall, tried to hit a guy in the slot. And I can guarantee you, one of Lindy Ruff or Seth Appert or somebody on the bench, Marty Wolford, went to Dylan and was like, breathe, breathe. I know you want to just show everybody that it's going to be a different year. Last year was a tough season, but you're not going to do it in the first period of the first preseason game in your first couple of shifts. It's going to take time. And he really settled down. He looked really good in the second and then in the game in Munich. And it's hard to evaluate, too. I'm going to say this. It's hard to evaluate. They did not play any NHL competition, and that's just a factor of the way the camp is. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to evaluate, but at least in what we could evaluate, I thought Dylan was like, okay, let's get back to some of the basics that have worked. And he, Benson, and Quinn, they looked like they had something going on together.
Game-winning goal scorers as Buffalo amassed a 6-1 preseason record. Osland, Joki Haju, Benson, Hellenius, and Wahlberg. Now I feel like I'm missing one somewhere along the way. Maybe Thompson, probably, because he got credit for that. Did he get? Yeah, Thompson got credit for the first one.
That was the second one. The first one was it was Lafferty.
Oh, that was Jokic.
Shot it off the skates that went in like a bouncy one. So Sam Lafferty has a game-winning goal because that.
That's right. Yeah.
So Lafferty is the one. Oh, by the way.
But nice Hellenius finish last night on the great pass from Jobs.
Note on Hellenius last night was, wow, big shot. Did not know we had that in the artillery, that big one-timer beating, Jack Campbell that was in net by that point. But from the tops of the circle and a 4-on-3, at the end of overtime, like that was huge. But so many times he passed out opportunity to shoot, even in that game last night, in other games, like he's going to be really special. He has the tools. He's still had 11 shots in four games. It's close to three shots per game. Like, it's still a good number, but he could have easily ended with 16, 17, 18 shots in four games, which would have been like four to five on average. Like, I think that's where his game is going to go. But that shot in overtime and scoring on that 4-on-3 was something that I did not know he had. I was pleasantly surprised to see.
So we're 20 minutes in, and for whatever reasons, we have not really mentioned these two. And these two are players that are with the Sabres right now in Czechia and did not see an awful lot of preseason time.
Yes.
Minimal at best.
One game.
Lukáš Rusek and Jiří Kulik.
Yeah, one game.
Strange, was, right? Because a year ago at this time, we were saying, you know, like Rusek's on a one-way deal next year. And then all summer, it was like, where's Jiří going to play? Is he going to move up? They move off of Skinner. Like, it's crazy in a way. We totally understand all the dynamics here in play.
Yes.
But we're sitting here after a seven-game preseason, and they each got one.
Yeah. You know,
and they're with the main club.
I'm not surprised on Lukáš Rusek, just because I think they know what they have in Rusek, and the role that he probably fills right now is like the 13th forward, you know, or the 14th forward. Like, that's where he's at.
But so in this case, he's 15th, is he not?
Well, right now he's kind of like 15th, but I don't think they are going to keep Jiří Kulik, and maybe they will, as the 14th forward, as the extra. Maybe they do for a week, and then after that, they look at where the, you know, is there injuries or what's happening with that. But I think Lukáš Rusek knows he's an extra, and I think the Sabres know Lukáš Rusek is an extra. He's not part of the top 12. He may not even be 13th or 14th, but he's an extra, and you got to have those around. It's part of the role. It's part of the job, right? So you wait for your opportunity. May not get a lot of preseason games. I'm surprised Jiří Kulik did not get as much playing time. And I get there's only three games, but look, they dressed 13th forwards against Munich. Peyton Krebs was actually the 13th forward. If you're going to dress 13 forwards, well, maybe that would have been Jiří Kulik and say, hey, let's give him that opportunity, that experience. But I get that Krebs is also a first-round pick that is, you know, fighting for his NHL career right now. Mm-hmm. He's eager to show and wants to get in there. So, but, you know, we have all these guys in North America, Noah Osland, Anton Wahlberg, Isaac Rosén, right? That Konstantinos, Victor Nurchev. I've been really, really impressed by Nurchev. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is a guy that probably wouldn't have gotten any preseason games, maybe one.
Also got hurt at the start of camp and has bounced back incredibly well. So
And so you're like, hey, you all have these positive images of those players, but we don't have any positive images of Jiří Kulik right now because he didn't get to play as much in the preseason. And I understand why. Like, the positive images are from, you know, Prospect Challenge, which is a complete different time zone from where we are right now. So do I anticipate, like, for example, Jiří Kulik to be part of the roster Friday as they play New Jersey for the first game of the season in Prague? No, I don't. He had one preseason game. He played on a line with Rusek and Krebs. That's what it was, right? And actually, Krebs played up. He didn't even play on a line with Krebs. Krebs played with Thompson and J.J. Paterka that game. So Kulik was just basically not really given.
No, Krebs, you were right the first time. Krebs' next game is when he ended up playing up.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The first game of the preseason they played together. Krebs, Kulik, Rosén. That's what it was. You're right. Because it was McLeod, Greenway, and Zucker that didn't play the first game. And they came in the second game, which bumped out Kulik and Rosén. Krebs took Tuck's place on the top line.
Correct. Yes. Now, sorry if we're overwhelming you here. It's just
overwhelmed because there's a lot to digest.
And it only gets busier, right? Because we have former Amherst captain Michael Mersch joining us after the break, and we'll discuss his career, his impact on Rochester, and the Amherst camp opens tomorrow.
Yes.
So every single day, if you're a hockey junkie right now, you're seeing the waiver wire and the transactions. And unfortunately, you're seeing injuries across the league that could, will, in some cases, have significant impacts on the outlook of teams. But, you know, we just mentioned two players who aren't playing right now for the Sabres well over in Europe. Well, Lukáš Rusek, if he comes back and then they minimize that roster back to normal standards, like, he has to clear waivers.
Yeah.
And Jiří Kulik does not. But you look at a lot of guys that we have talked about through these four preseason games where so many of these players got a greater opportunity. Jack Rathbone on the blue line. I mean, it was impossible not to notice. Logged huge minutes, big skater, big first passer, right? But guys like Rathbone, who's 25, Josh Dunn, who's 25, Mason Yops, who's 30, Brett
Mason
Murray,
Yops
26.
Looked really good.
These are all guys that if they're going to end up being a part of the Americans to start, they're going to have to go through waivers here. So I had
a fan reach out, like I was out and about and came over and said, hey, what did you think? Like, isn't Rochester going to be so good this year? Like, excited with that. I'm like, yes, I think Rochester's going to have a great year. Now, my priority is Buffalo. Like, I want Buffalo to have a fantastic year, but I think that, like, that competitive, you know, atmosphere that's happening, Zach Metsa playing with Sevi Komarov, and those two I thought look really good, especially Metsa. There was a lot there to unpack that. I almost feel like Kevin Adams now is going to look at the blueprint of this training camp. Not saying it's got to be very similar, but it was able to really open the eyes of many about how good the prospect pool is, not just in your first round picks, but others that can come in. Olivier Nadeau, who's talked about Olivier Nadeau? Like, he played ECHL last year a little bit. He kind of slowing down a little bit. You're thinking maybe he's not going to make it. He looked really good in preseason and prospect challenge.
Well, and with all that, the Sabres have a practice tomorrow, a practice Thursday, and the game. The regular season kicks off for the Sabres and the Devils this weekend on the 4th. Of course, that's going to be, our first opportunity to see this group under Lindy Ruff, who, by the way, celebrating an anniversary of his debut as a Sabres coach way back when on this date. But, of course, no matter where you are on Friday and Saturday, we just want you to be indulging in the blue and gold. So we've got a Global Series watch party happening at KeyBank Center. That's going to be on the Saturday, the 5th. We'll have alumni appearances, games, giveaways, chance to, of course, watch the game on the new video board in the Arena Bowl. Marty, that's an early start. That's a 10 a.m. That's a 10 a.m. puck drop on Saturday
morning. 9:30 pregame.
So you can learn more.
It means we'll be at the studio around 7:30 in the morning.
Sabres.com/watch party to join us at KeyBank on Saturday. Michael Mersch is coming up next on Sabres Live.